Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. It's Tuesday, not a normal day broadcasting, but I believe we let everyone know last week that we were changing our days. So here we are, 914-338-2. Call and number. What is going on? I think I just pressed the wrong button. Little Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah.
914-338-0164 is the call in number. And again, press 1 if you'd like to speak with us callers. And our callers and listeners can join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. And you can follow us here as well on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, we have Karen calling from Chicago, I believe. 331-71. Hi.
Yes. Good morning. It's me, Karen. Yes.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good. I've been taking your advice, and I have been looking for jobs in like the back in the transportation, manufacturing, building, like roofing, cement. They haven't called me yet, but I have been seeing more of these type of jobs that pay a little bit more. They're administrative. I'm just wondering if you see anyone calling me for these fields.
So you've had no calls?
No callbacks.
When's the last application? When's the first application and then the last application you submitted?
Sure. The first application was probably a month ago, and the last application was last night.
Last night. And have you followed up with the one you did a month ago?
It said that because I did it through one of these type of search engines, and it said that my resumes have been viewed. I was able to check that. And then when I asked, like, how much they were going to pay through the search engine, they never responded.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that was, so you asked what the pay was.
Correct. Like, you could have questions, and I said, how much would be the starting pay? And then the search engine, I guess, asked on my behalf, and then whoever the employer was never answered back.
They never answered back. I mean, it seems like such an odd way to communicate with an employer via, like, the internet and not having any direct line of communication. Like, in the old days, you would, if you applied for a job, you would call up the job or maybe even drop in person and follow up on an application if you hadn't heard. So there was no way to do that with this. The one a month ago?
No. Once they didn't respond to the pay, I knew that one was probably out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if asking about the pay is the best question to ask an employer. It's kind of taboo, I think. But I, at least in times past, you know, in an interview, don't say, hey, how much are you paying? Because it can be looked upon as not being a favorable question that a prospective employee is asking. But I don't know if things have changed in the landscape of obtaining employment nowadays.
Right.
I don't know. But I still think, I mean, Neil, we'll let you talk in a minute. I still think that these jobs that you're applying for, the follow-up should be I think in person or on the phone, there should be more of a chance for the employer to actually see you, get to know you. And I know things have changed in the way that jobs are applied for, but if you know who the employer is, there has to be a way to make contact with them so that they can actually see you. I mean, I think maybe some of those people that get hired are more aggressive or assertive in that way, possibly.
Well, Karen, if they said they reviewed your resumes, and what they're really saying is we reviewed them and we're not going to give you any comment. They're really suggesting we reviewed them and we're moving on. You've been reviewed and don't bother us. But here's what is more significant. You're on the cusp of a major change at the age of 50. Your master number is 7. You're 49, that's 7 times 7. And at 50, you will have completed a whole cycle of 25 years of karma. So between now and a year from now, somewhere in that space, you're going to be landing a job. Now, the attachment to the job has a lot to do with, one, karma, two, your connection to whatever karmic element you're dealing with, the tribal situation, the team you're going to be working with, because desirably you want to be working with, you just don't want a job. You want a job where you'll be happy, accepted, and not experience in 3 months, getting fired or hating it. So the idea right now is called attachment. You're going through an element of time where you're trying to attach yourself to this significant level of employment where you're going to be happy. Now, the idea of being happy is strong. In other words, the read is that you're going to be working somewhere within a year. Now, that could be tomorrow. The word is within a year.
Right.
So it could be that you haven't quite found your tribal unit yet. And the search itself is an odyssey of sorts. You've got to go through it. There's karmic elements. There might be areas where you've had attachments before, but they're not strong enough in this lifetime to be established. But in the area of what we're talking about, which is kind of good news because you're going to be getting a job, but in the area that what we're talking about is this. Another question to the side of our topic, and that question is eye problems, glasses, optometrists, anything with eye situations in your life currently?
I have to pick up my glasses. I do have new glasses with a new prescription. I just have to go and get the pick them up.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take that vibrational validation and compare it to what we're talking about. You have a job, you're just waiting to pick it up. You see, it's the correlation. You don't understand what a correlation is. The psychic correlation here is that since we mentioned glasses and you're saying, yes, I've got a prescription, I have to go pick it up. Yes, I've got a job, I just have to go get it. What is your resume? Do you have an impressive resume?
Yes, yes.
Well, give us an example.
I have, like my education, I have my work experience. I also have the list of programs, computer programs in like transportation, administrative, construction, OSHA. So it's a variety of things on there.
So you're familiar with, there's certain software that's specific to transportation companies that you're well versed in, and OSHA,
yes.
You have a, what is it, like a certification from OSHA?
It's like a database. I do have a certification for hazardous materials as well. Like how to use the OSHA database.
OSHA, OSHA.
Well, you know, some of this is about just doing what you're doing and continuing, and then that will eventually meet up with our prediction. The other question is there anything I can do or look for or go to that is more specific than just a general search that ultimately meets a prediction? You know, I'm going to say something very absurd to you. It's going to be crazy sounding to you, Karen. But
okay.
Just go with the program. The first question is easy. You know what Disneyland is, right?
Yes.
Do you know the Jungle Boat ride?
Yes.
Well, near the Jungle Boat ride, they have a gift shop. They have certain gift shops throughout the amusement park that's based on the specific land you're in. And in the gift shop adjacent to the Jungle Boat ride, they have items for sale, including rubber-tipped spears, like a native would use. When I say those rubber-tipped spears, I want you in your best imagination to tell me what it connects to in your life. Now, you've got to answer the question, but in your best, even if it takes imagination, which is Disneyland, you tell me what comes up.
Okay, and 727 area code, we're going to be getting to you shortly. So I want
to
just
right
let that caller know that we're aware that they're here. Okay, go, Karen.
Rubber-tipped spears. I kind of see like an arrowhead. I don't know why I'm attaching it to like an arrowhead. One of those arrowhead charms or like stones, you know, like those arrowheads.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid.
Native American. Yeah.
Why do you have one?
Yeah.
Did you look for one? Did you go? When I was a kid, we used to even on our block go looking for them.
Yeah, I think I had maybe one of them when I was a kid because I used to collect rocks.
Rocks?
I maybe had one in my I had one probably in my collection.
Hmm. What do you mean? Did you go outside and collect rocks or go to stores?
Probably going to a store. I used to collect like rocks too, but probably I had that in my collection.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with one comment. Kristen can wrap it up with you. We'll get on to our next caller. I think you had a past life, and I think that past life was like an archaeologist, and I think you went and searched for rocks and relics in foreign lands, in primitive lands. Now you're searching for a job. The correlation is you're searching for a job. So what I want you to do as an exercise in your private time is I want you to imagine yourself being an archaeologist and looking for precious stones and rocks. I want you to make a little movie in your head for 5 minutes. Just sit down, lay down, and envision yourself as being Indiana Jones, and
you're talking about another Disney ride. Jones ride, too.
And there's spears in that one, too. I just want you to imagine that. And then, softly in your mind, I want you to correlate it to your current search.
Okay.
Because you'd mentioned cement. That is crushed stone. Anyways, that's what I want you to do.
Okay. I can do that. And I'll keep looking, too, as well.
I would do that. And if you can be more assertive, if that's possible, I would suggest it. Because I think that, you know, it's about finding your karmic tribe, definitely. And you don't want a job that, as Neil said, is going to, you know, you're going to be leaving there in 3 months. But on the same token, you've got to make yourself stand out as an applicant. And I think the process in which they're taking applications doesn't allow prospective candidates to stand out because it's so anonymous. So that's my suggestion.
Okay. I can do that.
And how long have you been unemployed? I mean, I know you've done projects, like you had like contract jobs. But when was your last full-time job that you were?
I would say probably last March.
Last March, long-term full-time job, or have you been on contract jobs quite a while?
Yeah, I've been on contract for quite a while. Yeah, I've been on contract jobs for a while.
So when was the last job you had that was like a permanent full-time job, not a contract job?
Oh, that was probably maybe 10 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, not 10 years ago. I would say five to seven.
5 to 7. So you want something that's permanent full-time, correct?
Correct.
What do you mean?
With benefits. That's the main thing with benefits.
Administration. You're in administration, right?
Correct.
Clerical.
Yes.
And you've been doing contract jobs for 5 to 7 years, but you need to have benefits. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Give us a call back and let us know how things are going.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Take care. Okay, we have a caller from 727. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. What's your name?
This is Kate.
Kate. Okay. Kate. How are you?
Very well. And you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good.
So what brings you to the show?
What you receive in terms of what would be most helpful for me to know in the coming 90 days.
What?
Okay. It's very specific.
Okay. What's your birth date?
September 8th. Just had a birthday.
Okay, we need the whole birth date, though. What's
sure.
the year?
September 55.
55, okay.
Where are you calling from, Kate?
Florida.
Okay,
so she's from 1955, yep.
She's 60.
60 years old. So she's been through 6 cycles of 10.
Oh, you're very kind. I was 65.
Oh, Neil.
Oh, oops. Yeah. 65.
So 6.5 cycles of 10. Sometimes we make people older on the show, and sometimes we make them younger. It just depends on our mood. 1955, 65. Okay.
Well, okay, so in the next 90 days, let's start off with some common questions. Even being psychic, we're going to pose some questions. Just say yes or no, Kate. Just say yes or no. You have grandchildren. Did you ever have any children?
Yes.
Okay, so you have children, but there are no grandchildren.
Correct. I have one child.
You have one child. Is that child in the area or possibly ever going to have children, or does that look pretty bleak?
I wouldn't call it. For me, Neil, it's not bleak. She lives in another country, across the pond, as people say.
Hello.
And she may or may not choose to be a parent, and if she doesn't, I am perfectly okay with that.
Okay. Can we just have her birth date?
Sure. She is 30 December 95.
Well, we split the month first, so December 30th, 1995.
Right.
She did it backwards because she lives in England. Probably. That's how they do it there.
No,
the daughter does. Is that
no,
she lives across the pond?
Yep, no, she lives in the Netherlands.
Oh, further across the pond, but usually across the pond it refers to England. Okay, Netherlands.
So she's 30.
All right.
Okay.
I was getting a 6 on that.
In the next 90 days, there's going to be some strange things that are going to happen. One, unrelated to your personal life, a child is going to enter your sphere. It could be through a friend. It could be in a strange conversation we have with somebody where that child's mentioned. But look for a child first. It's not an ominous thing or dangerous or dark. And it may be very subtle in the way it approaches your circle. But look for that.
No.
Then secondly, look for...
We can't hear you.
What's that?
Okay, it's like, I don't know why. If you could speak right into your
children were born into my sphere this week. My closest friend and a great nephew.
Are you on a headset?
Oh, what? Nope. My closest friend and my great nephew each had a child born on the last Friday.
Okay. So, Kate, that's a validation, okay?
Right.
Now, that serves as a validation for the next premise within the next 90 days. There's going to be a theme, at least a theme of traveling.
Well,
pleasure.
Theme of traveling. I was going to ask about some kind of relocation. Is there anything coming up in that regard for you?
It's a possibility for sure.
That's what I was getting, a move. So Neil said travel, but I thought move, like a move of residence.
They
which are related.
Hold hands, those two topics. The travel is a broad statement. It could come in through, again, conversation. We've already got the validation with the kids. So there's something to do with travel. What was your occupation in life if you're retired?
I had so many, Neil. I taught at various levels. From when I was very young, I taught kindergarten, and then throughout life, several times I taught at the university level. I was a healthcare administrator for 20 plus years, was a commander in the Navy Reserve, had a brief stint as an actress. Just had many, many rich experiences.
Oh, well, the kindergarten teacher, there's the kids. What did you teach at the university level?
I taught allied healthcare students, and I also taught business classes.
And you were a commander?
Mostly communication and organizational psychology.
Oh.
And then I also wrote online classes for continuing education. And I have about a half a dozen of those that are still circulating online.
Yeah. The quality of teaching in your code comes from the 9-8 and then the coupling of the 55. They're all related to teaching aspects. And then you switched gears. You went over to be a commander in the Navy Reserve. That was probably a little bit earlier.
Well, and creating the online classes, the coupling of the 55s or the 5s because of the vocal, written aspect.
And what was your stint in acting? What did you do in acting?
Which is also.
I had voiceover work and commercials for extra income when I was an undergraduate. And I was in a film with Richard Harris and Ernest Borgnine. Young people would have no idea who those two people are, except Richard Harris in Harry Potter movies.
No. Richard Harris, Camelot. He's famous. Famous, great actor.
So Ernest Borgnine.
Perfectly Marty. We know who they are.
Yeah.
What movie is
it? Sure. It was a movie called The Ravengers, and I was Amazing Grace. Oh, and my scenes were with Art Carney.
Oh, great actor, Academy Award winner for Harry and Tonto.
Right.
Jackie
Gleason.
Jackie Gleason, too? Yeah. Oh, so you've been around the actors, great actors. Jackie Gleason was... He actually composed a very beautiful song in Papa's Delicate Condition. And he was perhaps nominated, I think, in the Paul Newman film where he played the hustler. But anyways, he was also
I had forgotten that.
Your voice, you know, there's a show called Leave It to Beaver, and Theodore was this little chubby kid, and his mother, your voice sounds like his mother. You have a distinct.
Oh, that's interesting.
Voice.
June Cleaver.
No,
oh, yeah,
not,
no,
not June Cleaver.
No, not Theodore. I'm sorry, not Theodore. It was his friend, Rusty.
Oh.
You listened to his friend, the chubby kid.
I remember Rusty. I don't remember Rusty's mother. I will have to go back and give that a listen.
Yeah, listen to it, because Rusty's mother would go, when your father gets home, he's going to give you plenty of trouble.
Oh, I do remember now. She was a plump lady that wore her hair. Well, most everyone wore their hair up. Yes, I do remember.
But your voice echoes her a bit.
Interesting.
You're going to be doing some, there's something to do with traveling. It could be a move. Krista mentioned a move.
Yeah, so.
There might be some writing involved if you're interested in some attitude of writing. There seems to be something going on there. But what's commanding, no pun intended, but what's commanding in my mind about your energy currently is something to do with traveling. It might come up in 90 days, but it seems to be a pleasure. I'm not sure.
So should we let her respond?
Nothing planned at this point. I am certainly open to travel with precautions. Sure.
Okay. And you said move is a possibility. So what, give us a little bit more information on that.
Well, I stay open to that, Kristen, because whilst I have been in the same location for 5 years,
okay,
I have had, due to my father's military and government careers and then my professional life, I think I've had 40-plus addresses.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
You know, I'm always open to relocating.
Do you own or do you rent?
I own.
So it wouldn't be an easy move necessarily if you like rented an apartment, for instance.
I think it could be a second home. And relocation is always easy for me because I've done it so much. So, yeah.
Oh, so you're thinking if you moved, it may be rather than selling your property, you would just be adding a property.
That's my thought.
Okay.
Did you say you played the Amazing Grace character in the...
in the Ravagers. Ravagers.
Ravager, R-A-V-A-G-E.
Ravager.
Yeah. Like ravage.
R-A-V-A-G-E-R-S.
E-R-S.
Yep. Right, that's what I said, E-R-S.
And that was with Richard Harris and Ernest Borgnine?
Right, 7980. The IMDb, for some reason, and I have no idea why, lists Cecilia Genovese or something like that for the Amazing Grace character. And that's an error. I have corrected that a couple of times, and it goes back and forth in terms of being correct and not correct.
That's annoying.
Yeah, you know, I find it really curious. I think I'm one of those folks who thinks there are no coincidences. And I have no recall of anyone named Cecilia on set. Ann Turkel and Alana Hamilton and all of those people were very obvious. I have no idea who Cecilia is.
So can you go into...
And, you know, I've never actually researched that, so...
Can you go into IMDb and edit it yourself, like Wikipedia? How do you make that correction?
You contact IMDb, and then my recall, it's been several years since I last did it. I think it's been 5 or 6 years ago, is that somehow you have to be able to document. In other words, you can't just freely... at will do an edit. There's no access for one to just simply edit.
Right.
So they then somehow want substantiation. And there is a woman who has a theater company in Sarasota, Florida, who was also... part of the crew, and we haven't kept in touch, but we certainly remember one another, and there were several press releases about the two of us, and there were newspaper articles, so it's easy to substantiate.
Mm. Did you have a 5-minute part in the movie, or... What was the experience?
I had a speaking role, so that then
credit.
I'm not sure what the SAG. Yeah, I'm not sure what the SAG rules are now. At the time, you were allowed 1 5-minute or less speaking part, and you didn't have to join the SAG organization. But after that, you were required to join the union.
Well,
so,
you know, I mean, aside from just...
I was paid union wages. I didn't join SAG. I went onto active duty in the Navy instead. But that's another very, very interesting intersection in my life. I was offered some roles, but they certainly weren't A-type movie roles.
Yeah, that
I took
was
a
more,
very
I mean,
different...
A lot of famous actors did sometimes obscure films. That film's a little bit more obscure than their...
Well,
typical.
These were not only obscure, but they were, let's just say they were of questionable standard. And I can laugh now. At the time, it was very jarring. And the production company asked me who the heck I thought I was to turn it down.
Oh, well, you know, your name derives, has English origin, of course. So
right.
Have you ever planted your feet on English soil? Were you ever in England?
Oh, yeah. I've traveled. My daughter's father is from Eastern Europe. And she said throughout her life, which as a child, she grew up in the States, that she wanted to attend university in Europe, and she manifested it and went to undergraduate school in Switzerland and then in graduate school in the Netherlands and now lives and works there. And so I have traveled with her and with her father, not extensively, but I've been 6 times or more.
And are
well,
you
I'd say
still,
not expensively, but, you know.
Are you still married?
No.
No, I didn't.
No, we divorced when she was 3.
Wow, a long time ago.
Well, do you
there,
have
yeah,
any...
20,
you have
almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Which is
do you personally
number.
Have any expectations for the next 90 days or desires?
I'm sorry, Neil, I missed the first part in terms of expectation and desires.
Yeah. In the next 90 days, do you have any preference about what you'd like to experience or go through?
Well, I got a very strong hit when you offered the previous caller some meditation time and some visualization and remote viewing, if you will. So I'm going to put that into practice this week.
Okay. What you might want to do, if you're going to do that, I would advise you to keep a journal about what you experience in that more abstract realm. Because you could be into some attitude of your existence that you need to address before you actually ultimately leave the planet. There might be something for you to still search.
That's entirely true. And this is very esoteric for a discussion, much less this kind of interaction, to ask one, what is it that I need to address before I leave the planet?
Okay, here's the visual.
I certainly think that's the case.
Here's the visual lead-in, if you will. Rod Serling, here's the visual lead-in. I'm seeing you, I'm in a visual image, I'm seeing you locate like a big, like pirate's treasure chest. It's a treasure chest.
Oh my gosh.
There's jewelry, there's things in there. It's
yep.
almost, I don't know, you're saying, you're reacting. I don't know if there's something you want to mention.
Yeah, I've had that visual, the verbiage, the visualization, location, two places in Florida, Treasure Coast and Treasure Island, often capture my attention.
Okay. Coincidentally, Treasure Island, written by Robert Louis Stevenson, was actually he was inspired to write it after looking at Carmel and Monterey on the California coast. That's where he lived.
Did
for
not
a while.
Know that.
Yeah, that's where he lived, and he stayed there and lived in Monterey, and actually riding on horseback down to the coast, he was inspired to write Treasure Island. But there is, obviously, there's a Treasure Island in Florida. So there's something in that location, if you're able to go there, where in going there, you may get a deja vu. You may get some kind of feeling. You may encounter
I'll be there next weekend when you talk
so
about
you are traveling.
Light travel. Yeah, I have a trip planned there next weekend with the close friend who just had her first grandchild.
Okay, but we had to go rewind back to the beginning of the conversation. So Neil said travel, and probably at that point you should have said, yes, I have a trip planned next weekend. So
see, for me, that's not a trip. That's just like I hear you, and that's what I mean in terms of how my mind and my life experience work. For me, that's just a visit with a friend. Yeah,
you're not
I
going to, you know, to an international destination, but are you staying somewhere in a hotel, or are you staying with a friend where you're not
in an Airbnb for the weekend?
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a trip. That's a trip. So I understand where your mind
and
goes,
a child.
And the friend has a child.
Yeah, you're going back to a karmic past life journey briefly there. You visualize, do your visualization about the treasure chest. When you're there, pay particular Hitchcockian attention to everything that goes on. People you talk to, casual things, nature, whatever you encounter there, keep a thorough, you know, I don't know why I'm having all these allusions to writers, but keep a very thorough Daniel Defoe journal, if you will. And, and then don't worry about whether it makes sense or not. You'll come home, you'll review it, you'll read it, but you're going there to encounter something that is rooted to a past life.
Okay.
Okay. But sure enough, you're traveling with a to a friend who had just had a child, blah, blah. Okay, so there's enough
content.
Weird Rod Serling stuff going on here.
Okay, Kate. Well, are you still there?
I am. I'm listening and connecting the dots. And every reference is perfectly understood.
Good.
Great.
We're glad we kind of helped you out there for a bit.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for openly traveling with me.
Yeah, follow us if you prefer, you know, get to know us, follow us. We'll keep tabs with you. That's not your choice, but if you are comfortable with it, go ahead and
do it. Yeah, we're on Facebook. You can find our pages or our personal page, which is really not personal too much.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so, so much.
You're welcome, Kate.
I appreciate the confirmation validation.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye now.
She does have a very distinctive voice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a school. It's like a school teacher's voice, but
old-fashioned. Old-fashioned.
If you listen,
teacher.
What's his name again? Rusty.
I don't know.
Rusty's mother. She was a very fabulous character actress too. Not they have to look alike, but their voice has a similar delivery.
I wouldn't know. Didn't watch.
Yeah, she
too
was
much
very
to
funny. He would always get in trouble with Beaver, and then. She would her most of her appearance on the show was at the Cleaver's home, collecting her son, and saying, "When your father gets home, he's going to really do the business on you." She was always funny, but and she probably had a various career otherwise, I'm sure. We kind of hit on. We kind of hit on our last two callers.
We hit on our last two callers.
And then we hit on.
I don't think that would be.
We're running a dating service.
Right, yeah.
But.
Exactly what our intention is here.
Past life stuff, whether you believe it or not, it's still intriguing about the journey. I mean, we're doing a journey in this lifetime, and this journey is going to go somewhere with your soul. So if that's the case, when you look back at your life, this will be a past life.
Hopefully not.
What do you mean?
I mean, it will be a past life, but I mean, the idea, at least for us, is not to come back to the planet and reflect on a past life.
I mean, you don't prefer to.
No. I mean, some people want to come back, which, you know, is fine.
Come back, little Sheba.
And
that was Shirley Booth. A very famous play, Ingenue's play or something. But anyways, she thinks that Ernest Borgnine and Richard Harris are not.
You know what?
Shirley Booth. Shirley Booth.
You know, it's funny, Richard Harris came up because we were dealing with something regarding our house. And anyway, I spoke with someone with this company. And he said, well, we're going to have the area manager contact you. His name's Richard Harris. I didn't tell you this. Yeah. And I said, really? I said, that's an actor. That's a famous actor. He didn't know who Richard Harris was, this guy.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't. Wow. But he's probably younger than either one of us.
Richard Harris had a great, he was a great actor, brilliant actor. Very near Shakespearean. He was in a few movies along that line, and he did the singing
in Camelot. I mean,
yeah,
he was. I
yeah.
mean, he was a singer.
Oh yeah, he did. MacArthur's Park.
A legitimate singer.
Famous.
There's, you know.
And that song was like 8 minutes long, but he also starred in Foolish Things with Doris Day and stuff like that, trivial stuff. But still a brilliant actor and was in epics as well as drama. His first starring role, A Sporting Life, I think it was called The Sporting Life. He became renowned then, and that was a black and white British film. He was actually Welsh. But then he went on to star in other productions and very famous movies as well. And sometimes caper films and stuff like that, like comedies. But He had his, like all the Welsh actors, he had his voice was, he was preceded by his reputation and his acting skills. Great voices, Richard Burton, things like that. He used to hang out with Richard Burton, and I don't know if Tom Jones was in that crew, but there were Oliver Reed and people like this that they hung out with, drinking people. In a rough life.
I don't know. Is this a movie?
No.
Review show.
No. Oh, is this a movie? Well, we've been into, you know, it's like Charlie Brown's baseball field. We may not play the game well, but we have great discussions. You know, it's interesting. I think it's interesting that we are all, you know, the Shakespeare, the world is a stage. We are all actors and actresses. We're all commanding, whether we're famous or not famous, we're obscure, we're a person of little words, or we are like me, long-winded and boring. You know, we all play a role in our life. And we play dual roles. We're never consistently the same. As soon as you walk into your home, you change roles from being outside. When you wake up, you're going through a role. When you're at work, you're going through a role. We constantly are cross-dressing. No pun intended.
Oh, God.
When I come home, my preference is a girdle and long stockings.
Don't say, you know, that. You shouldn't even say that. That could be misconstrued.
Well,
you know what people do with audio.
Well, they can do whatever they want.
Anyway,
but
things coming back to haunt us.
If that's the case, Groucho Marx is in plenty of trouble.
Wow.
But you know, today Groucho Marx's remarks. Oh my God, would he be in trouble? You know, there was a joke he gave on You Bet Your Life where he was talking to this woman and she said, you know, in the future, I plan to have children. But, you know, I'm on my feet all day. And he said, well, if you're going to be on your feet all day, you're never going to have children.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, today that might, oh, we're going to, that's abuse, you know, something like that. But his puns and his deliveries. And my God, Don Rickles, oh God, he would be gagged and hanged today with the comments he made. Even Rodney Dangerfield.
I know. And what's the other one? Who I think Rodney Dangerfield is very funny. Sorry, I do subscribe to non-politically correct humor, but Don Rickles is another one.
Don Rickles, very funny, very, very funny, very racially challenging.
I mean, can you imagine?
Jokes.
Can you imagine? What is it? Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that was Mel Brooks.
That would never.
No.
Never fly these days. Never, never, never. I'm surprised it hasn't been banned.
I had the honor of meeting him, and we had a laugh. But he had a joke once where he said he was driving home, and he was driving right in front of his house, and he saw this naked man running in the street, and he said, "What's happened? What's going on?" And the guy goes, "You came home." But
is that who you saw in the drugstore?
Yeah.
What, you tell the story? It's actually funny.
Well, I was walking into the drugstore in Hollywood, and he was walking towards me, and for some reason we met eyes. He looked at my face and started laughing so hard. I didn't have to say anything. He just looked at me and started laughing so hard. And, you know, I never really questioned. I mean, he was looking
at me.
Did
you ask
laughing.
Him why? Yeah, I think
recall.
You did. You told me that you don't remember.
I can't
the
remember.
You tell.
We had a conversation. We had a conversation.
Yeah, and he
I
told
can't.
You he had a, he said you have a funny face.
Yeah, something like that, like Stan Laurel. You know, he did mention that I had something like that went on. The older I get, the less I remember in detail. But certainly I remember him. He was wearing short pants and God, the biggest bluest eyes. You know who had, I also had the honor of meeting Kirk Douglas. Man, when that guy looked at you, his eyes, even me, who is not easily intimidated, they went right through you.
Yeah, well, he
right
has a,
he
I mean,
had a presence about him that was amazing, Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, but he has a bad reputation as well. You know what he's been accused of, actually.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was a tough character. And,
well,
you know, a ladies'
a
man
big...
and not exactly up to par with ethics in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, the ladies' man is one thing, but crossing a line of being violent. And,
well, he had a very, you know, he was very, he and
totally
his wife
different
were married.
Thing.
You know, they their marriage was a long-lasting Hollywood marriage.
Well, he raped women on the side.
Well,
great.
He's not here to speak for himself, but.
No,
the,
but. It's pretty well documented.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was a very commanding energy. You know, when we talk about these people, I was in an elevator with Paul Newman, and
oh yeah, when you were a child.
Yeah, my mother looked like Natalie Wood, so my mother was just like gaga over Paul Newman, but Paul Newman. In the elevator that we had a brief encounter with, he was wearing a ragged sweatshirt and jeans. And he was so, at that moment, he was the shyest man on earth, totally awkward, was staring at my mother. My mother had a commanding presence in those days. It looked like Natalie Wood. She even did a little circle on her chin with
you mean
her
a beauty
face
mark?
Freckle. And he just, He was like, he was like Woody Allen. He was all over himself, but very shy. Didn't even have eye contact. Now that could be that he was kind of purposely avoiding the public, and it's awkward for an actor to go out into the public unless they're just basically.
Total extrovert and want attention.
But
probably he dressed that way in order to avert attention from himself and be able to blend in with the crowd.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, Don Knox, one of my favorite
actors.
I just thought he was the most delightful. I laughed. I worshipped him.
What are we talking about?
I met him in a restaurant as a child, and I went to approach him with an autograph book in my hand, and he stared me down so mean, like, don't you dare come over to me. And it forever left an impression. But you see, we look at these faces and we get these different personas about our energy fields. And, you know, for instance, Kate wants to go inside and do a journey and meditate and figure things out. Well, we're constantly, I think, experiencing numerous past lives in our life. And it's just amazing how they all collide, like the movie Traffic. They all just kind of collide and hit us at once sometimes. Sometimes it's dramatic, and then sometimes it's very
subtle.
Yeah. But in the aspect of our experience, when Chris and I, we were, you know, we oftentimes do readings together with clients and stuff like this. And we have to sort of approach the idea that oftentimes, even when we're doing readings together, we may be looking at things from different angles, but we give each other the opportunity to express our own views and what we're seeing. Because ultimately, the image can merge into a common ground.
Well, in fact, it recently did merge into a common ground, interestingly enough. I have a specific reading that we did in mind, and this was not on the air, but it was, I'm not going to give the details of the reading, but Neil saw image of red berries. We were trying to track a lost dog, essentially. And Neil saw an image of red berries and mentioned to the client. And then there was some discussion. But after that, I said, I want to go back to the image of red berries. And when before Neil said red berries, I wrote down palm tree. So I wrote, and the person said, okay. But what happened is after the reading, the person we were talking to went to this location and she sent a picture of a bush with red berries with a palm tree coming out of it. So that's an example.
That's a validation.
Well, it's a validation, but it's also an example of emerging.
The merging
of the images came together. So.
Yeah, she talked about the next 90 days. We've got 90 seconds.
Yeah, we've got 90 seconds.
So
it can happen.
Yeah, it takes. What's that song? It takes two.
It takes
whatever it is. But the it's interesting when you work in pairs.
Apples.
When you work in comparisons, you get really mushy. But I don't know how that word mushy came up in terms of love. But, I'm getting all mushy.
Sentimental. It's probably soft. Sentimental. It's not really
you're melting. Your heart
yeah,
is melting,
exactly.
Whatever.
It's not really
anyways, we'll talk about
strong
that.
Strong image. Yeah, we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And we will speak with you then. Bye. Ashley Wood.